Lord is with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. There are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes questioned Jesus, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" Jesus responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defiles. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Risen Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It was indeed a privilege to be among the 82,000 Catholics and others who last Saturday night spent the evening with Pope Francis and reflected on families and the diversity of families' experiences both in Ireland and from around the world. Groups of families from all parts of the globe testified to him what their family experiences were. And then on Sunday to have 300 or 400,000 people gathered in the park for worship and music and song, and in that context to know that we as a universal community are called to live out the good news. And it was a privilege to be among those people. It was a great way to end my sabbatical in which I was studying family history and Irish music, which is a code word for going to a pub. But pubs have wonderful things, including alcohol and other drinks, along with wonderful food and music. And families come into a pub because it's not a place to exclude family, but it's a family place where people tell stories. This last week, we as a world have experienced Pope Francis coming to Ireland, and then we had the death of Aretha Franklin and John McCain, and in both of those funerals, our nation were given the opportunity to come together not only in grief, but also in celebrating people's lives and the values that they tried to speak or sing in our world for so many decades. It was moments in which we can put aside other things of our busy life, like when someone in your family dies. You pause because this person was significant to you, and you remember them, and you lift them up, and you trust that they who lifted other people up in word, music, and life have now been lifted up into God's embrace. All those moments invite us to ask the question of the Scriptures, And the scriptures invite us into this image that what comes out of us, not what goes into us, is the things that can hinder us and harm us and make us not as great as we could be. So I just invite us to think about this week. When were there moments when you had the opportunity to say something good and you're conscious that you either chose not to say the good or you even chose to say something that was negative, bad? Was there a moment when something that came out of your mouth or your heart did not lift up, was not true? And equally, I invite us to think about this last week when that did happen. And for most of us, most of the time we rise to the occasion. Someone walked by you quickly and you pulled out of the way and let them go. You were driving and the person was running too late and you could have honked your horn, but you let them go. You were at school and someone was in need of help and you offered them help. There were so many moments during this last week when you and I rose to the occasion from what comes out of our hearts, out of our mouths, were the positive, affirming, amazing things. When your child came home and talked about school and you listened to them and even fed back to them, wow, that sounds like an amazing day. Or when your child came home from school and said it was boring, it was terrible, it was disgusting, and you helped pull out of them something that was amazing, something that happened in PE or something that happened in art or music or history or literature, something that they had accomplished. They had read a chapter, they did their review, and you were there as parent, grandparent, brother or sister, and lifted them up. Or maybe it was a colleague at work that maybe just got beat down a little bit by a boss or someone, and you were there to lift them up and hold their hand, to encourage them to keep moving forward. The scripture invites us to be practitioners of that which lifts people up. It was a common phrase used during the two funeral services for both Aretha Franklin in her music and her family and life, but also with John McCain. That question of people lifting people up, encouraging them in the midst of their difficulty. One of the realities that I came face to face with when I was in Ireland in trying to find my family history, that in the mid-1800s, before and during the famine, many of our ancestors were forced into what was called work-labor camps. Work-labor camps was seen as a positive thing from the owners of the land because they thought they were helping these starving people out. And there's something to be said about that. But they also were enslaved. And so the language that I was reading about this summer was women and children being separated, women hearing their children on the other side of the wall crying for them, and they could not communicate or connect with them. There was that part of that one country's history, and we know that that gave birth to our church's understanding of labor and labor unions, and the right to, for people who work together to band together and ask for justice. We also know that at that same period of time in our country, the Civil War was taking place. And then that period of time, people who had been enslaved were asking for basic rights to a name, to voting, to being able to have families, to be able to actually have labor, that they were getting something back from their labor. So it was in that context that about 150 years ago, the church took its reach back to the Jewish text that we heard tonight and said, there has always been a movement in God's creative hand that labor would bespeak what God has given to you and I, the skills and the gifts that you and I have, whether it's the gift of music, the gift of reading, the gift of movie studios, the gift of teaching, all the gifts that we have. And from those gifts, God's creation continues. And so the church has written many documents since that time about labor and the gift of labor and the experience of labor, that it's not just to be done, but labor is also a way in which you and I participate in the creation of God. That when you as a teacher create a test and you give it to your students and they respond because they understood what you were teaching, you can say yes. Or a student who takes the class and hears what is happening, has discussion, and when the test comes, knows, yes, I read that, I heard that, I had that discussion, and what I put down on paper is something that has become a part of my learning experience. So as we celebrate Labor Day this weekend, once again, it's not just a holiday, but it is a holiday that we, as church as well as a nation, celebrate the gift of labor, the gift of working for others. It is that same notion that the gospel speaks of, that what is going in us is not as important as what is coming out. How am I being creative with the gifts that I have? I'm always overwhelmed by the amount of people who volunteer for nonprofits, whether it's a cancer nonprofits or blindness nonprofits, or here at the church or at your schools. That is an added blessing of our labor, saying, I don't need to do this. I'm not getting paid for it, but I want to because it is beneficial to someone else. So as we go about tomorrow and this week, be aware of wonderful things that come out of you, amazing things that touch and transforms others because of your gift and your goodness. Be aware of those other things that pulls us away, that St. Paul speaks about, the things that divide us, the things that push people down, the things that are untruthful, all those things. Be aware of those, but also I invite you to be lifted up by the gifts of labor, the gift of doing, the gift of creating, the gift of being for other people. Amen.